This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone are my
redemption. How great is our God! How great is our God. Father God, you are great. Lord, we come before you and we humble ourselves and we honor you because you are great. Father, and I pray that everyone who has not an experience or a knowing of how great you are, that you will come. You will come with your Holy Spirit and you will reveal something, Lord. You will reveal something special that will speak into that person's heart, Father, that they will know you are great because you are so super great. Thank you, Lord. And when we sing your name above every name, it means you are just far above everything else. There is no one that can come close, Lord. And I pray that every one of us will know that, will have that assurance, will carry that in us, and will share that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So thank you, Yolanda, Marco. It's always awesome to sing with such, I don't know how to say it, to such awesome band, I don't know. And we pray for increasement and more people. Amen. Yes. Yes, today is a challenge. As I struggled a lot this week, and even I only had Thursday to work on this, and I said, Lord, now I have this humongous, immense headache, and I cannot focus, and how will I do this sermon now? But you know, when you are weak, God is strong. And so it is awesome what God put together and how we're going to enjoy who he is. He's really greater than in our own power, greater than what we plan or what we think or our thoughts. So this is awesome. I felt God said we're going to speak on sanctification. And there's a few pictures. Sanctification in the Bible means actually to be holy, to start to be more holy. And or another way of saying it is to come closer to God, just to know more who God is and what he expects from us. And through that, we repent often of that that's not in line, and we try to come in line. And the first picture we have is of people who has been struck, or countries that has been struck with disaster. And then often you see these lines of people, and they give the things that they need, the handouts, they give through. Now, so from the one to the other, everyone can walk to the plane, but they stand in a queue and goes much quicker this way. So what they get, they give through. It's like a production line, nah? Getting, giving. Both of them. It's and then the next picture is of a pipe. We couldn't get a better one. I wanted the start and the end in the same picture, but I couldn't. It's a pipe, and the pipe's job is not to keep the water. The pipe's job is to let the water come through, and to bring it to a certain place. The best it works without leaks. We had a hose pipe in South Africa when we were there still, and it has some leaks in it. It was old and was cracked. So then you will position the leak at the place that you also want to water. But then later that area is so wet and you can't really take it anywhere else. So that's not part of a good pipe. A pipe is to really just let it through And that what he gets in A, he will give out in B. And then there's a dam. The purpose of a dam is to contain the water. Now, to get full of water. And only give water when it's full and overflowing. So it's getting puffed up and puffed up, if we can say that, and getting fatter and fatter. And then when he nearly bursts, then he will give a little water. And God wants us to be pipes, to let go. That what comes in must go out. You're not supposed to get fat. No. And often when we come to church and we go to small group or we do Bible studies and we listen to sermons, we sing and praise and worship at home, you get fatter, fatter, fatter. Okay, not physically, hopefully, but you get fatter. You get filled with who God is. You get a bigger knowledge of Him and a better understanding. You grow in that, but you're not supposed to be a dam. Okay? Yes, you need to do that, but you're supposed to be a pipe. You need to let it go through. And God says, you will never outgive Him. You will never give more out. You will never let more water go through you than what you got in. And hopefully after today, you will start challenging that and trying to give out God, to give more than God gives you. So and then God said to me, okay, it's about 2 Corinthians 8. And it more or less goes where Paul, he wrote a letter to the Corinth, people in Corinth. It was a town, and there were some Christians, and he wrote this letter to them. And then I said, Lord, but I really don't know what to preach on this. And I've read it 3 times now, and you know what I do when God gives me something like this? I read it again. I ask Him to help me. What does He want me to share? And then I will read it out loud. And then if I still didn't get in, I said, Lord, well, really, you need to tell me now, because this is your church and this is your people, and I will say it, but then it would be good if you can share it with me. And then He showed me 3 eggs and a bird sitting on 3 eggs. And He said, Renee, it's going to be in 3 steps. You receive, you breed, and you give out. So, I don't know how, but the breeding is this. And wasn't it, I think it's a beautiful picture we got with breeding. This eagle, and he's breeding on those 3 eggs. And then the next picture is where the father and the mother bird is checking out. These eggs are hatching. They are coming. We sat on these eggs for a few weeks, or I don't know how long they sat, but now they're coming, and it's a beautiful picture where the mother and the father bird is looking. Wow, what is happening here? This is so super cool. And sometimes I think this is what God looks at us. Wow, just look at my son. Look at my daughter. You see. I gave him all these things, but now he's hatching. He's coming. Just come and check. And I feel this is what I often get when we intercede before church. And I shared it this today as well, that God says, yes, the angels are ready. They are waiting to worship with you. And then I think, Lord, we are so small. Who want to worship with us? But the angels wants to. And it is really ready. Okay, now we can go. So the last picture there is where the little one tries to fly. We know it goes as you grow. And it's beautiful, the big wing of the adult bird, and then the small little tiny wing. I don't think he will fly at all with that wing now. But he's already trying to do the motions. And I think this is what God wants to share with us. We must be Christ-like. We must follow in Jesus' footsteps. That is the guideline. And as this mother bird shows this small bird, okay, this is how you do it. Yeah, in the beginning we are not successful. We cannot really fly. But God keeps on feeding us and helping us not to get fat, but to give it out. So this is beautiful. And how God is watching us growing. He's enjoying that. The Bible also says that when someone is saved, when someone for the first time in his life says publicly that he chooses Jesus as his Savior, that Jesus died for his sin, and he believes that, and that through that, the relationship between him and God is restored. And then through the Holy Spirit, he can hear God's voice, and there's a relationship. And we learn that the angels are standing still in heaven when that happens. So you must know how awesome is that hatching. They have most probably been breeding on this person for many years or many days. And then today is the day that it's going to happen. And it's God celebrates that. He rejoices in that. It is, and the angels, they love it. So yeah, we had a baptism a few weeks back. A few of us were baptized, three of you, hey? And it is such a celebration. It is awesome to see how God grow in God. You get all the nourishment that God wants you to have, and then you click it. Oh, okay, this is the next step. And then we celebrate with you. The first slide is 2 Corinthians 8, as you would know now. And it is where Paul writes to the Corinthians, and Titus came to see him. Titus was a guy who was in Corinth. And what happened with Corinth, there were false preachers. And you know, false preachers are very, even today, there are false preachers. And we really need to test, is this the truth that they are saying, or are they only teaching the half of the truth? So even us, as I shared with someone before the sermon, test if this is from God and if this is part of the Bible. But Titus went to Corinth. They were believers. Paul visited them. But then there was false teachers, and they down-talked Paul and the apostles, and they wanted the people to swing towards them. And now Titus went there, and he spoke with them, and of course they prayed. And a lot of them, more than half, came back to the solid teaching of Paul. And Titus was really on fire about this. So he met up with Paul, and he says, man, you must know these people. Now, many of them came back to the truth. And they now want to also bless the people in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, at that stage, the saints in Jerusalem needed funds, money. I don't know if there was a drought or a famine, but they were in need of money. And these people in Corinth was even prepared to give of their money to Jerusalem. So that is super cool. And it's also awesome to know that they were not circumcised. These new Gentiles, they didn't have to be circumcised. It's like we also don't need to be circumcised, or the men. And the women, of course, but that day it was only the men that were circumcised. So happy for you guys. And that the uncircumcised could actually give to the circumcised. It was actually awesome to know that this is fruit of Jesus dying for everyone. This is fruit of how God, the promise of his chosen ones, is now. It's bigger, it's for everyone. And it's just special to know that their hearts turned Christ-like to give of themselves. So the whole thing goes a little about money, but this was not what God told me I must talk on. So I'll read it and then I'll fill in. Verse 7. But as you excel in everything, so he's talking now to the Corinthians, and he heard this from Titus that they are really doing great. You excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in your love for us. See that you excel in this act of grace also. I used a little different translation there. So he's saying, you received faith, you and speech and knowledge and this eagerness. See that you excel in this act of grace also. He's actually speaking of giving them the tithings or the money to Jerusalem. But they have received a lot. They have received the good news. They have received the gospel. They are now acting on it. He's challenging them. When we come there, please be ready. And don't make us, I think he was scared that he will be ashamed when he comes there. Because they wanted to give, but he said, okay, I'm on my way. So please get your contributions ready. And then later in the letter, he also says, yes, there's honorable people who's going to take care of this money. Also Macedonia, where he was then, already gave. And we take good care of this money to bring to Jerusalem. So the first egg is, what did or do you receive? What did you or do you receive? And I've put a few things there to make you think. Did you ever hear the gospel? Then you received the gospel. It's not necessarily that you took it, but you did hear it. Yeah? Are you saved? Many of us here are saved in that sense. You are saved when you said yes, you believe in Jesus, that he died for our sins. Many of us are saved. So you received that. And that saves, being saved is also through God, through his spirit prompting you, so that you could make that decision at the end. Okay? And then through the salvation, we are made righteous before God. Deliverance is possible. Deliverance is to be free of where the enemy keeps you and hold you, so that you can have a joy that's rooted and in you, and you can have a contentness in you. And that's why Jesus died. He died for lots of things. Also, that we can have a purpose, that we can have relationship with God, is also part of salvation. Then, did you receive the baptism? Because of your baptism, you fall under a new authority. It's not the evil. It's like when we explain baptism, I feel I just need to explain a little. When we explain baptism, it is like when the Israelites were freed from Egypt. They went to the Red Sea, and then they stood there. The enemy, the Egyptians, came after them. They were stuck in front of this. And then God spoke to Moses, the leader, and he said, okay, put your staff on the water, and the water separated, and they could go through. It's really a miracle. It sounds like a storybook story. And then as they went through, the Egyptians also wanted to come through because they were just after them, but then the water closed, and the whole army drowned. And I know some people say, yeah, but it was only ankle deep, the water, and whatever. Well, it's even then a more bigger miracle if they drowned in ankle-deep water. It was definitely more than that. It was humongous. It was terrible, actually, that they all died. But what happened? Before the Red Sea, the Israelites fell under the authority of Pharaoh, of the person who reigned there. Now, going through the Red Sea, it's not more his territory. And that is what happens when you are baptized. You fall under the enemy's covering, because it's his legal right. He's reigning on earth. But when you've chosen Jesus and you choose to confirm it with your baptism, then as you go through the baptism, you fall under a new authority, God's authority. That is so special and so awesome. So, okay. So most of all, us are baptized and also received that, the new authority. Then we receive gifts. In Romans 12, there's about 7 gifts that the Bible speaks of: a teacher, a giver, a ruler, exhorter, a mercy, a servant, and a prophet. And you can't you can't be everyone, but often you're two, you're stronger in one or two. It's a gift from God. Did you pay God to get it? Did you pay anyone to get it? I'm more exhorter, and Darken is a little, I always think you're teacher, but prophet, teacher, what are you? He's my husband in any case, but teacher, prophet, you see. I'm not so much a teacher. So you will see when he preaches, he will really research thoroughly, because a teacher will never stand here and say something that he's not 100% sure of. It's a gift. And when a teacher speaks, people understand easier. It's the gift that God has given him. Now I can sulk and say, yeah, but Lord, why don't you give me the teacher gift? Now God chose me to be the exhorter. So this is my gift. So I need to run with my gift and be a blessing to everyone in my gifting. Did I ask God to be an exhorter? No. He chose it. And it's beautiful how he gives us this gift. And it's when we just started the church, I think we were 7 or 8 people at one stage. And we all did a small little test to see where do you tend to be more stronger in? And all 7 gifts was in the church. And we were only about 7. And what makes it difficult is everyone thinks different. So Darken and me, we are very opposite in many things. So he will think A and I will think no, B. But this is how God made it. And that's how God also shares in the word, we are part of the body. So if I'm supposed to be the foot and I want to be a nose for today, it's not going to work. Okay, so you're not supposed to envy another person's gifting. You're not supposed to try to be another person. You must be the foot or the nose or the mouth or the ears. So this is the gift. Then prophecies. Many of you have received prophecies. People have prayed over you and got words from through the Holy Spirit to share with you, to be a blessing with you. And Jakar Linky shared something before church, and you didn't want to come and share. May I share? At the intercession, we pray for the church on Tuesdays, and then Karlinki is changing jobs. She feels her season is over at the one job. And then God gave me a small picture, and a random picture. I said, well, Karlinki, I don't know what's this, but this is what God gave. So often, you that give the message that have no clue really what's going on, but you must just be obedient. So I gave her the picture. It was more than 2 months back now. I can't even remember it. But then she brought a little book today to church to show me what she's written there. And the place where she applied has got that logo that I kind of saw that day. So we trust that there will be favor, that she can get to work there. But when we sang how great is our God, this is how God works. It is supernatural and super cool. But yes, we all need to be obedient to be a blessing. Because if you're just going to be a dam and keep everything for yourself, you're not really a blessing. You're not part of a communion. No. If the foot says, I just want to be a foot and I don't want to have anything to do with the rest of the body, well, then you stay a foot. But I think the body will cut you off so that they can walk with the one leg. Okay, then that's prophecies. Then teachings. Often we learn we learn teaching. We learn from teachings. We learn in church. We learn when we sing songs we often remember better than sermons. We learn from chatting to one another. We learn from Bible study. We learn when we listen to sermons. We learn. So we received a lot of teachings. Okay, so we are really fat. And then we also get promises. God promised this in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. I did not give you fear, but I gave you love, power, and a sound mind. It's a promise that God gives us. How many of us struggle with a sound mind? God is giving it to you. He tells you, if you belong to me, I will give you the sound mind. I will give you the power. I will give you the love. Those people that you are irritated with, I will give you the love for them. You will love them. Yes, they are not easy. They are difficult, but you know you will love them because I love them. And it's a miracle that God gives that to you, because out of yourself you will just want to ignore them or walk past them, or because that is how we are. We are not so kind and so nice, actually. But God gives us this promise. And then when you struggle, you can say, Lord, you gave me this promise. So I pray now for this love and this power to go on, to push through. And the sound mind. I think all of us need a sound mind. We really want to see clearly. No one of us wants to drive in fog. We want to see. And then God says, yes, but I give you not a light that shines all over the place. Just in front of you is a light, but there is a light, and you just follow that. It reminds me of a book that I read halfway. It was, the book's name was Petrus Beter Weter. It is Peter the Know-It-All. And it was a kind of a book written on how it would be if we would obey us that is knowing everything. We know it all. And then it's like when Peter and Jesus walk together, and then Peter says, you know, Lord, why can't we know what is happening in next week or in a month's time or whatever? Then God says, yeah, well, I think it's better for you. Then he says, but can't we try to just know 3 days in advance what's going to happen with us? And then God said to him, it's our story now. Then God said to him, yes, okay, I'll tell you 3 days' time what's going to happen. So he was revealed that the dog will bite him at the next inn that they're going to sleep over on the third day. So now he was scared on the first day already. So he checked it out everywhere where they walked. Oh, no dogs, no dogs, no dogs. So they came into that inn on the third day and he checked it out. And he was so scared and he was looking for this dog and he couldn't focus on anything else. It was just this dog who's going to bite him. And they slept, and as they said goodbye the next morning and they paid, as he wanted to go outside, out the gate, the dog came and he, from nowhere, and he bit him. The moral of the story is a little that if God shows us further than only here in front of us, we start wondering and panicking and we want to manipulate the whole thing. It's not what God wants. And it's for our best. He made us, you know, God created us. So he knows what's good for us. So you're not supposed to know everything there. You will be frantic all the time. Okay, so we received a lot of things. So the second egg is we must internalize it. You must make it your own. No? In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5, it says, I didn't write it out here, so I'll just check it here. Yeah? In any case, I can't read it. It's shining too much. But it is that they gave themselves. If you can look beyond yourself, sometimes marriage is a good challenge. Because then it's not only about you. It's also about your wife or your husband. Life is not just about you. It's about the other one as well. And sometimes it's really difficult to be friendly and to be nice. And to look out for the other one. But you know, this is also Christ-like. Life is not about you. Life is about you being a blessing to the rest, working together in the body. And these people understood it. They said, we give ourselves, themselves to the Lord as his agents. Lord, use me wherever you want. I sang that often before we came here, never knowing that I will end up here. But you must mean it when you say, Lord, here I am, use me. This is Christ-like. It is for Christ to use us. But just know he will use you, and you must then off you go where he wants to use you. So don't do it falsely, in your heart. So it must be, this is part of being Christ-like. And then 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you received. That though he was rich, yet for your sake, not For Jesus' own sake and for God the Father's own sake, all of them would have lived happily ever after in paradise, in heaven. But for our sake, he became poor, and he came, and that you by his poverty might become rich. Isn't that beautiful? Have you done anything like that for anyone, even your loved ones? No, we don't. We don't die for our loved ones. Yeah, perhaps a mother for her child. I think that's the closest that it gets. But you know, even if you're that Jesus died for all of us, even while we were sinning, even while we were corrupt, even while we were cheating, even while we didn't like each other, even while we resented one another, Jesus said, I want them. I love them. I want them to spend eternity with me. So that is really beautiful. And it is fantastic that Jesus did this, because we are reconciled with a relationship, as I said, with God. Then the next slide is where it is in the ESV Study Bible, and it was beautiful how this person wrote it there, so we just copied it. The presence and power of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. When you give your heart to Jesus, you ask the Holy Spirit to be part of you. And through that Spirit, you are transformed. So the presence and power of the Spirit transforms believers in the image of God, seen in Christ. Christ is our example, which is the dawning of the new creation. We are to renew our minds and be renewed, characterized by the righteousness of God. Believers therefore embody the new creation of the new covenant by living for the sake of others. It's really godly to live for the sake of others. It's not that, oh, I'm now so holy, and I'm now so cool, I look out for Derkian some days. No, we're supposed to do this. This must be an everyday thing. This is made possible by the reconciliation with God brought about by the cross. Okay, what I just want to say under two is the second egg. We need to internalize what God has given us. We need to make it part of us, so that we can stop being selfish. Stop thinking that you earn your own salary just for yourself. Stop thinking that your smile is just for yourself or your loved one. Stop thinking that the gift that God has given you is just for you to swim in and to enjoy. It's not. It's so that all of us can be blessed. If Yolanda and Marco didn't share their talent, we would have sang with YouTube. Yeah? We would have managed. But they're a blessing. So are we a blessing with setup and with all the things that goes with it. Okay. Focus. The third egg. Okay. Give out what you received. We are not supposed to be dams. We are not supposed to get fat and full and full and full. You need to be thin like a hose pipe. Some of us are very thin, but we need to be thin like a hose pipe. What comes in must go out. Or come in, go out this way, I don't know. But it must go out. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 11. So now, finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. I put the accent a little wrong. What it means is, do what you feel you need to do. In that sense, if you feel prompted to be kind or to bring a bunch of flowers, we had a pastor who said he loves his wife dearly and he often thinks of giving her flowers. He honestly, really want to give her flowers, but he never goes and buys them. So, where is the blessing? It stopped with him. He's really feeling a positive thing, a good thing, but he's not doing it. It's okay. We need to do it. We need to go and do what we received. If you receive a word for someone, will it be a blessing if you keep it for yourself for 4 years and then you say, oh, so by the way, 4 years back, I've written it down. I could have given you this word. It doesn't help anymore. It's long past. Okay, so yes, I've said everything. I'm just checking. It was the dam versus the pipe. We can flood ourselves, but it doesn't help. We need to give it through. 2 Corinthians 8:12, for if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. And I want to share again, just to say, God doesn't expect from you to do and give the same as the person next to you, okay? Because you don't have the same gifts. God does not ask of me to stand here and sing or to play this thing. I don't need to feel terrible about it. The other day I tried to do that laptop thing, but I crashed, not the laptop. And then your niece was so gracious. She said, you know, perhaps you must stay with your giftings. And as I was born BC, before computers, it is not my biggest gifting. It's actually not a gifting of me. But God doesn't expect from you to give what you don't have. If you smile easily, give your smile to everyone, in the bus, on the pavement, everywhere. If you're friendly, don't be stuck up. If you're good with finances, take the finances upon you and do it. If you're good in strategic planning, go for it. And don't try to, okay, it's a good thing to buy flowers for someone. I will buy flowers today. If that's not your gift, don't be stuck with it. It's not what God wants. Be what you need to be. And we're going to pray about that just now, so that you will know more clearly what is the expectation of God of you personally. Okay. So in this giving, according to what you have, it's now, you know, Paul is writing about finances. So he says, don't give more than you have. And I've shared this testimony before, but I felt to say it again. We had a tent, a four-man tent. Four people could sleep in the tent. And we never used it. But it was in the garage, and we just kept it away from the rats and the rotten rot. And then someone phoned me and said, please, may I borrow your tent? But I knew she is sleeping around with many people, and she wants to use it to go to a big festival for a whole week. And I just thought, God, she's going to defile my tent. I don't want to give this tent to her. I often speak to God on the toilet. So I go to the toilet. I said, Lord, I know all our money is yours, but the tent is also yours. And I said to this girl, you may borrow our tent. And that evening, God spoke to me. And he gave me, I think it's in Psalm 91, and he even knew the exact translation that was lying next to my bed. It says, no evil will come close to your tent. Not your house or your caravan, your tent. So I was so excited about this. And eventually, after 4 weeks, after she come to practice to put up the tent and whatever, and me telling her, I want the tent in the same conditions as you receive it, she never borrowed it. It was too big for her. And the thing is, it's a test. If I didn't have a tent, I could not borrow it. But I had a tent. So the more stuff you have, be prepared. Now God's going to challenge you on all the stuff you have. you may have to share it, perhaps. And it was good. Okay, so I also said, yeah, that we at one stage moved. When you're married to an entrepreneur, you move often, because every now and then there's a new challenge that you can conquer. And so we moved every 2 years for many years. I think for six times about. At the end, we moved 11 times, I think. I think this was the 12th. But sometimes after 2 years, the box was not even opened of the past move. Do you use that? No, you don't use that. I then realized if I haven't used anything for 2 years, I can just as well bless someone with it, because I'm not using it for 2 years. So you can breed on it and keep it, but it's not a blessing to other people then. Okay, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 13 to 14, we're nearly there. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. This is now with your giving. But that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. So you give what you can give, and you don't need to give more. Money, he's talking here about money, but money is a tricky thing. You know, often we think, yes, but I've studied so hard and I have now this income and this is now mine. Okay, yes, you were faithful, you did study. It is hard. Nah? I also studied. But who gave you your brain? Who made you that you could study and could remember stuff? You? No, you were just faithful with what God has given you. So those who have a lesser brain, we cannot look down on them. Who chose that they will have a lesser brain? Who chose that some people are more, can be doctors and others can be secretaries and others can be cleaners, for instance? We often look down to other jobs. You know, it's not the way. All are worthy. Everything is worthy. And you are not more worthy because you studied so hard and so many hours and so on. Yes, you were faithful. You could also be lazy and sit on your chair and think everything will happen. No, you were not. You did study. But it doesn't give you entitlement. Okay, yes, of course, if you work for your boss, you expect a salary. But to also bless the rest. And the Bible says it's more difficult for a rich person to enter heaven. Mammon is the god of wealth and of money. When Mammon creeps in and you have this covetousness, you never have enough. You're never content. Just know the enemy has you. Go and repent it and get free of that. It's terrible. And the more things you have, the more worries you have. Often. And it's not that you need to be poor. Definitely, that's not what I say. Okay, then Hebrews 5 verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again by the basic principles of this oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. This is when Paul wrote and he said, you know, you are so fat, you're supposed to be so fat and still you don't step out. Still you're this fat dam and it's not overflowing. The little God has given us or you is more than enough to be a blessing. It's more than enough to flow through that house pipe. I heard someone say that with more or less the knowledge that you have about the Bible and about God is more than a pastor in Africa. So don't think so little that you have received so little. You know a lot. You have to give. You don't. Yes, in some places we still need to get more, but you have to give. And today we're going to ask God, where is that? What can you give? Okay. Matthew 25:13-27. This is the last part. It's about the talents. It's a parable that Jesus spoke of. And he says, for it will be like a man going on a journey. Many of us went on holiday. Who called his servants, it's a rich guy, you know, and entrusted them his property. He said to them, okay, take care of my property. To one he gave 5 talents. It's more or less, they say, $5,000. So it was not little money. It was a lot of money. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. It's not that the one is more stupid than the other, no, to his ability. Okay? It was a wise guy. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. I want that guy. Who can multiply money like that? So also, He who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent, that was now $1,000, went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, it was longer than a holiday seemingly, after a long time, the master of these servants came and settled accounts with them. Okay, check it now. Bring to me what you have. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents here. I have made five talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. This is a principle of the word. This is a principle of God. If you're faithful over the little God gives you, if you're faithful over this that you have now, he will give you more to be faithful over. You will grow. Okay? So when we ever end up in heaven, we want God to say, good and faithful servant. We don't want to hear, what have you done, servant? Okay. So, enter into the joy of your master. Then the next verse, 22. And he also who had the two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents here. I've made two talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So he didn't say, you only made two. No, it was awesome. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Yeah, you have what is yours. You see the little manipulation, yeah? But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So he was not faithful with the little he got. It's just that. The parable speaks actually for itself. And we're going to pray that the little God has given you, or the much that God has given you, that you will be a host pope and give it through. And then 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16. But thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care and zeal you have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. What Paul is writing here is, he's saying, you know, Titus has got this excitement about you. You are so cool, and he is so excited of what they've done and how they returned to God. And he most probably he spoke to them many times and he prayed with them, and now they want to give to Jerusalem, and he is so happy with that. And we ask today for God that he will make you excited for something. Perhaps you need to worship. Perhaps you need to dance. Perhaps you need to study further. Perhaps, I don't know. But that there will be an excitement in you, and it will be different for each one of us. But it will be beautiful because it comes from God. We ask God that he will give it to us. So I ask you today, perhaps for the new people it will be a little challenging, but I ask you if you can participate, that we're going to pray 2-2 together. And you may pray with a friend you know, or if someone else can pray with them, it's also fine. And there's three questions that I'm going to give you 10 or 15 minutes to pray for one another. First, you're going to share quickly, just in a few words, what are you in need of to receive? Where do you think you still lack? Where do you need to grow still? Okay? The next one is the breeding one. Where or what do you still need to surrender more, to internalize more, to be part of you more? If you've heard the gospel, you don't need to receive the gospel anymore, but you need to take it. You need to make it your own. Yeah? So then that is an example. But other things as well. You want to be a prayer warrior, or you want to be a good EC, what is an EC? Event manager, which we are looking for. Or you can be a good, you want to man up for the children's church to organize that. There's so many things, or something at your work, or what with a friend. Okay, that's the second question, but just short, a sentence or two, and then where can you give?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.